2. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Hey, good morning and welcome into Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on with us this morning. If you want to download the app, the Tide 100.9 app, you can send us an app message throughout the show, really throughout the day. We can read those over the air either today or tomorrow if we get them later on. Today, you want to email us, you can do that, wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure-Treated Pine from Great Southern. You want to build the five-star backyard, and Yellowwood is the only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you, buddy? Good morning, Dad. How are you going? How are you doing this morning?
Doing okay. Looked to me like totally when you totaled up the SEC 9-7 over ACC. Somebody can double check that for me if you will. Last night, Pylon continued to keep Alabama in the game after they got a 19-point lead and then struggled a little bit. They had, 24 more points from the three than Clemson did and won that game in a big way, which was a good win. Auburn beat North Carolina State. They off to a pretty good start. They had 20 turnovers, but good win for them. So it ends up a lot closer this year than it was last year, where SEC ran off with it. Didn't really happen this time. Most of the teams that I'm sure I'm a mistake here, but most of the teams that were favored were able to win in just about every case, and the home teams won a lot. So we'll discuss that. If you want to call in and talk about the two games, you're welcome to do so. In football, Alabama gets 2.5 now rather than 1.5 against Georgia. My and Barry can check me, is Indiana gets 4. Against Ohio State. Texas Tech gets 12.5 in their game against BYU. And I believe Duke gets 4 in their game with Virginia. I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's what happened there last night. So good wins for the two schools in state. And SEC, ACC challenge is over with, and by my calculations, ACC won with Syracuse, North Carolina, Miami, Virginia, Duke, Virginia Tech, and Notre Dame, and those are the wins for ACC. So Georgia and A&M won, LSU, Auburn, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt State, Arkansas, and Alabama won for SEC. So that's about all I have.
All right, last night, not a great crowd. Didn't look like I didn't go, but didn't look like a great crowd over there at the game. Alabama, anytime you shoot like that early, you know, you're going to build a big lead. People won't know, how do you lose a lead? Well, you're not going to continue to shoot like that the entire game. And
don't blow lead. The other team plays better.
That's right. And you're not going to continue to make, I don't know what it was, 6 threes in a row or something stupid. And so Clemson regrouped. It was a pretty physical game in the paint. They let some contact go, like in the paint. But Alabama, Phylon made lot of plays down the stretch. But they're freshmen. They got Allen and Jemison, I believe. They the injury stuff with Alabama, I just don't get it. My goodness, they always got guys hurt. Kid from Auburn did not play last night. Reitzel was out. They had three guys out last night. So in order to build some continuity and some rotation, it seems like they need to get their roster back intact. But we'll see. The kid transfer from Miami did play a little bit. He came off the broke foot. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline. He's been holding even before the show. And go to Melbrook. JD, get JD in the show. Good morning, JD.
Hey, good morning. Got two good questions for you guys, if that's all right.
Sure.
You know, I was thinking about it last night. You know, how great it is for Alabama to be consistently knocking at the door on basketball. You know, football program has been there for a while. You know, and it's really great to see that basketball team, you know, get elevated and stay elevated to the level it's at. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, it's a tribute to Coach Evans and the staff, that they continue to recruit at a really high level. When they first got here, they started national recruiting. I wasn't sure you could do it like that, but they obviously can. The NIL obviously helps, and these guys seem to lose guys, and they go and they replace them every year. So the level, when you watch like Michigan play, and they got their point guard starting for them, and Oklahoma's now got a kid there, and North Carolina's got a kid there on top of the roster that they had, these guys have really figured out how to recruit here to the university.
Yeah, and it's awesome, and I think they're very well coached. I am concerned about the injuries, like y'all stated, but, you know, it's really good to see them stay on top of that and keep the team elevated, you know, for, you know, sustained. But my next thing is going into the Georgia-Alabama game. Our Achilles heel, it seems to be right now, is the blitz. I mean, people have been getting some pressure on us on the blitz. They've been able to stifle the run. What do you think, I mean, what do we need to do to bypass that, to ease them off of that? Do we need to go back to some running back screens? Because I think, you know, we've got a third or fourth string running back that's pretty good at running the ball and catching the ball. I mean, is that one of our answers and to help us open up the pass game?
Well, you have to understand now, when you study Alabama, you think about the pass situation, the running game. So you try to get to the quarterback and rush him, put pressure on him. Throwing a little quick pass would be good. He holds on to the ball a little bit too long at times. But when that's the MO for Alabama, you do everything you possibly can to sustain the quarterback. And I think that's what Georgia will do. The offensive line for Alabama is going to do the job that they need to do to block. So, you know, they know what they're doing. The players have, you know, they are taught what to do. You know, Georgia's good, Georgia's smart, so it'd be a very tough game.
Yeah, I agree. I just, you know, I remember a game quite a few years back where we had an issue with you know, trying to stop the blitz, and we came out with a running back screen, and we did that a time or two. And then we used it as a decoy because we had somebody streaming down the field. And I wanted to say it was Mark Ingram, you know, going back that far. And that seemed to alleviate, you know, teams blitzing, doing the all-out blitz the way they were. But, yeah, I would hope we can formulate a little bit of a plan to stifle that blitz. That seems to have been, like I said, our Achilles heel so far. That's what stifles our game a little bit.
Yeah, I think the more you get tape on Alabama, the more you realize Ty Simpson is the key, and you got to get to him, and you got to get him on the ground. So the running game doesn't scare you. His arm has at times, but even he's gotten not quite as accurate as he was early in the year. So that's kind of the formula if you want to stop Alabama, is get to the quarterback. So you're right. We have to do a better job of protecting him, and we'll see if they can do it. Georgia's not quite as good as a pass rushing team as they've been in the past, but you know they'll come after him for sure on Saturday afternoon.
Well, it's these you got five men to block and send them six and seven guys. You got, you know, the past few games we've always had one to two, you know, free guys rushing in on him. But yeah, I'm hoping we can get it together. But I'm gonna jump off and keep listening in, guys. I enjoy the
show. Thank you, JD. Appreciate you. All right, we'll go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I thought I was going to talk about that.
Go ahead.
Well, the situation with Lane Kiffin is really interesting behind the scenes. There are a lot of conceptions that are out publicly that are not correct. And the other thing in football, even though the head coach was fired at Penn State, he got 11 people to come over to Virginia Tech with him in the transfer portal. I thought that was huge. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's an article right now. I'm reading through it on ESPN.com about from Mark Schlabaugh how Ole Miss got tired of Kiffin's deals, and they had in the one of the staff members as they were going through those took a poll like with the other coaches as to where do they want to be next year at Ole Miss, at Florida, at LSU, and evidently Florida State was willing to fire Mike Norvell if Lane Kiffin was willing to go there. The defensive coaches all wanted to stay at Ole Miss. Of course, Pete Golding from Mississippi. Well, I guess he's from Hammond, but his wife went to school there. They all preferred just to stay there at Ole Miss, and sound like the offensive guys were okay with going to LSU or Florida there. And so, you know, Lane did interview with these athletic directors during the season, which I don't think is a great look. It's coming out now. So, but coach from LSU, the athletic director from LSU said he interviewed Lane, but it wasn't but like a 90-minute interview because he learned from Nick Saban. You don't ask a coach what's your philosophy on first and eight, first and 10, and third and eight, and the other. You ask him more about what do you need here, what do you expect from your AD, questions like that, not coaching questions, because these guys know how to coach, obviously, better than the guy who's interviewing them. So I thought that he said he learned that from Nick Saban. So I thought that was pretty interesting. All right, we'll go ahead and take our first break. We'll get to the phone lines when we get back. 2 minute truck, we're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. 205-247-5050. 2 minute truck, movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning, and that Lamar County Stanier Ground case, the alleged victim has told the court he has no fear of the teenager who's accused of shooting him, and he wants the charges dismissed. That is despite his testimony. Marquise Gunner remains in jail on a $750,000 bond, which the defense argues is excessive. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And we continue to move along on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets, taking a look at Skyland Boulevard. You're only tapping on those brakes at the intersections between McFarland and 69 and 2059. Also moves smooth in, well, wide open and green for go. From
Seven gets you the fancy stuff, and nine sends you on a journey of flavor exploration. Get yours at participating stores for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Drinks excludes freezes. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Call at 205-339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurline B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus.
yellow tag on it, you don't want it. The more I read this article, I think Keith Carter and them were, they were fed up with Kiffin. I don't think they liked that his ex-wife flew to the two places to look right there in the middle of, you know, the heart of the season, that it was a bad look. They thought they were trying to find ways to not let him coach in the Egg Bowl, and then they kind of cooler heads prevailed and realized if they won that Egg Bowl, they would make the playoff, how much money it meant to Ole Miss. So talk about burning a bridge. I don't think they were real happy with him. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, good morning, my friends. I hope y'all are doing good today.
Good. How are you?
Very good. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yep. Doing good. Doing good. Hey, Richard Hendricks is sort of growing on me as a commentator. I don't know how you feel. How you guys feel about that?
I think
he points out some really.
Yeah, exactly.
He points out some really, really good things that most of us don't think about, and he's very, very honest. He doesn't sugarcoat stuff, and I appreciate the way he did that last night. You know, even though we did some good things down low late in the game to preserve the win, he points out some things that the big men should do that they're not doing. It's just great to listen to, and I appreciate him. But I also wanted to ask you guys a financial question, if I could, and I'm clueless on these types of things. They're always sort of hard for me to understand. If we've got X millions of dollars promised for the new arena, and it's just sitting there, and it's there. I don't know how that works. I wish they'd go ahead and break ground. I mean, this time last night was Coleman was. I just looked at Coleman as a whole, and I just examined that viewing experience last night. Barry, it was not good.
No, well, it didn't look good on TV. And then when you flipped after that game to the Auburn game, it was a totally different atmosphere. That Auburn NC State game last night. So I mean, I know it was cold and. You know, whatever, but I don't know. They hadn't played at home in a while. I don't know what the 6:15 start, which I think is always hard. Clemson doesn't excite Alabama fans that much, I guess, after you're playing Gonzaga and Michigan and not Michigan. They didn't play Michigan. Purdue, those types of things. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, people fraternity parties and getting ready to finish up, start exams and all that. I don't know. It just didn't. I agree with you, Leon. I agree with Phil.
Well, I was just wondering about that bond issue and the money that they've got set aside.
That part, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they have to have a certain amount before they start. I don't know if they're still trying to find the site. It sounds like the site's maybe changing from where it was. So I think they're still all in the preliminary stages of that. But it sounds like this new president wants to get it done.
Well, it does, and I watched that Duke game too the other night, and we talked about the Duke experience yesterday with you guys a little bit, and you know, I'm not a big Duke fan, but man, they do it right. They do it right, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate what Auburn's trying to do down there and what they are doing down there. It did not look good last night, and that's just me, and I'll move on and I'll be more positive, and I'm sorry LT Overton got hurt. That's a big blow. And if that happened in practice, I just can't imagine what he could have done. But I guess it was maybe an Auburn injury, maybe, that we just didn't know about. Do y'all know?
I don't know. That was news to me last night when that was announced on the injury report. So not even doubtful out. So I'm sure.
Right. Well, I just wanted to gripe about Coleman. And good win. Glad we held on. That was too close to the call. We didn't take the second half seriously. I think y'all would agree with that, and it nearly bit us in the butt.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank y'all.
All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Okay.
Good. I want to point something out for JD, a previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
On the game day show last week, when they were discussing Auburn, Coach Saban made a very profound statement concerning how we do on offense and everything like that. Here's what he said, and I'm going to ask both y'all right here and now. I thought Coach Durkin did an outstanding outstanding job with the defense last week against Alabama. It was, but on the other hand, I thought Alabama did a good job to overcome the things he was trying to do to Alabama to win the game. Do y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, it started out as a defensive game because both defensive plans were darn good, just like you say. It was not an offensive game to start the game. If you want to say it. And DJ had this team ready to play and on the defensive side, and pretty much probably already knew he wasn't getting the job. And Alabama's defense is better. We have a tendency to really criticize Alabama's defense. I'm one of them a little bit, but I think he's gotten better defensively, and I think it's a decent game to start the game.
I agree with every one of those things, and I will also point out, as I did the other day, and for whatever it's worth, Auburn had 3 weeks to get ready for Alabama, and that's the equivalent of a fall practice, and they used their time wisely. I'll give them credit, and it almost worked, and I'll give them credit for that. But it didn't. We won. But Coach Saban said this. He said, if you don't watch out for Ty Simpson, he said, if he gets an idea of what you're doing on defense before the ball is snapped, he said he will kill you. And he said that the key to playing tight is to be able to disguise your defense, particularly on the back end. I thought that was interesting, and it's proven to be true, and it proved to be true against Auburn because Coach Durkin was able to confuse Ty to a certain degree with the disguises he was using on defense. Y'all agree with that statement?
Yeah, they play zone and man in the back, and sometimes they want to make you look like they're playing man, and they jump into a zone,
exactly. Kind
of a little bit like basketball. So they play both of those coverages on the back, and not only were they able to do that, they had 3 weeks of rest, which was big. You talked about the rest, you know, but. You disguise the back end of it, and you have a lot of time. I thought Ty had a little bit of a problem getting these guys in the correct alignment. They act like they were. I think they changed when they set.
Great point.
And by the time he got them in the alignment, there's 3 seconds left. And I thought the guys around Ty were a little bit confused. Boy, I'm sorry.
At times, he reminds me of a woman. You know, he ain't going to run that play or he ain't going to do nothing till everything is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to go up there and go to hell with it. I'm going to run the play. But he's not like that. You know, he tries to get all the information digested. And that's what Coach was talking about with him now. But I'll say this, you know, he won the game, so you got to give him credit for that. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up and see what y'all thought about it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Tom. All right, Cowboy Ragged Glory, call us back. We got to get to break to get to JC on time. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, and we continue to move along on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets, taking a look at Skyland Boulevard. You're only tapping on those brakes at the intersections between McFarland and 69 and 2059. Also moves smooth in, wide open and green for go.
And $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. 256 gigs, $830. Eligible port in a new line. $100 plus a month plan with auto pay. Plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Northport Power Equipment, Husqvarna dealers, Skag commercial mowers and residentials, Echo outdoor power equipment, all the chainsaw needs and service that you need. It is Northport Power Equipment, 2 blocks east of the Northport Civic Center.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape. and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia, for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is heading to Atlanta again and play fast.
It's the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 303 Hargrove Road East, next door to the Tuscany Podiatrist, also across the street from West Coast Custom. They are now TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Same great customer service, same trusted ownership, just more convenient with a spot with easier parking. 303 Hargrove Road East, the compounding needs, the only sterile compounding facility in Tuscaloosa. Walk-in prescriptions are always welcome. Medicine on time, packaging, and all the compounding needs. It is TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 205-752-0627. If your pharmacist doesn't have an Alabama shirt on, you don't want him. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Do you have timberland you don't know what to do with? Give North River Timber Company a call. Courtney White and his team of over 20 years experience in West Alabama and East Mississippi offer timber harvesting, timber appraisals, comprehensive management plans for that special tract of land that you own as a registered forester in Alabama. Courtney and his team can help you decide how to maximize your highest potential for your land. Courtney says timber is like money in the bank. See what your investment can do for you. Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com. Or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
To Inside the Locker Room, pressure treated fine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. We get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's the owner of thebigspur.com. Several podcasts he'll tell you about at the end of the segment. Joins us every Thursday, JC Sherbert. Good morning, JC. How are you, buddy?
Hey, JC.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
We're good. Go ahead, Ed.
I have two questions. I'll just one state, but now I have a question. Vanderbilt has the coach of the year. Is the committee looking back on past Vanderbilt teams and not giving them a shot to play in the 12? That's the first question. And the second question is, of the team, forgetting the ACC championship, Alabama is the only team with two losses. All the rest of the teams have only either lost one or none. If Alabama were to lose, would they be considered out of the 12? Those two.
To answer your second question first, I mean, last year it wouldn't have happened. You know, they kind of protected everybody to a certain extent that was in a championship game. I think that's a mandate from the conferences. You know, look, we don't want our championship game loser, if they're in the playoff, to lose the championship game and be out. Because if they do, you know, you're going to have teams not wanting to play in the championship game. So it would surprise me even with a loss. Now, if Georgia takes a bite out of them, beats them pretty good, you know, at that point, you know, maybe you reconsider. Kind of sad one championship game would determine that. If Alabama didn't play, let's say Ole Miss won the tiebreaker and played Georgia, you know, Alabama would be in the playoff. So, you know, it's a tricky situation. As for Vanderbilt, I think a large part of it is their history, I mean, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. They have a Heisman front runner on their team at quarterback. They're 10-2. They've answered every challenge. They just blew Tennessee, who the committee, I mean, I hadn't thought Tennessee was all that good all year, especially on defense, but they just blew Tennessee, who the committee had the top 20 out of the water at Neyland Stadium. They had turned the ball over twice inside Alabama territory in Tuscaloosa, that would have been a close game. And then they almost rallied and knocked off Texas and lost by three. But what's hurting them is that Auburn's not good, South Carolina's not good, Kentucky's horrible. A lot of the teams, Missouri fell off this year, a lot of the teams they've beaten have not been very good. Virginia Tech obviously was terrible. So they have a win problem. Now, who's Notre Dame beating? Not anybody. Their schedule's much weaker than Vanderbilt. So why are they up there? Because they're Notre Dame. It's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. Why is BYU, who's playing a soft, you know, a Big 12 schedule, and is a good? Why are they ahead of them? Now BYU will probably drop. Why is Miami ahead of them based on beating Notre Dame? Based on wins in September? You know, Miami's losses were much more egregiously bad in the ACC than Vanderbilt's were. So I think it's a crock of crap. The problem is, with the way the playoffs set up, you can't take everybody. You know, and there's probably going to be a 10-win SEC team left out. And the way they play mental gymnastics with these team comparisons is yet again ridiculous. The only thing I'm thankful for is and I hope it stays this way, is that we're going to have a much better playoff this year, no matter who gets in, just because you don't have this, you know, SMU crap, or you don't have this these teams that aren't all that good to beat up on easy schedules. You know, Indiana is a much better football team this year than last year. You can watch them, and it's obvious. So that's the only saving grace. But I don't, you know, I think this is another case where 12 is probably the wrong number with the way they have it set up.
Yeah, I do too.
But at this point, they're kind of like Congress. They can't agree on anything. And that's what's going to happen when you have the deciders that all have different agendas. Nobody has the agenda to make the best college football playoff. They're all worried about their individual conferences and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's frustrating, but my heart's broken for Vandy, you know. But I just don't know how they get in without, you know, some other surprising decisions being made.
Yeah. You know, Texas, they're probably sitting there thinking, we'd play Chattanooga game one instead of Ohio State, we'd probably be in the playoff. So I think that's what a lot of these schools are going to look at now. You know, I don't think Texas deserves to be in the playoff. Don't get me wrong. They struggled to beat Mississippi State some games. They did lose at Georgia, and they lost at Florida, which hurts them. But these non-conference games like that, had they put a cream puff in there, Texas would probably be in the playoff, wouldn't they, JC?
Yeah, I call it the cat and caveman philosophy of ranking football teams. Like, unga bunga, 10 better than 2, you know. I mean, you're screwing yourself with big non-conference matchups by sending that message to Texas. Now, when you dig in a little further, like you point out, Barry, you know, that Florida loss was a bad loss. And they had to go to overtime to beat Kentucky on the road. They had to have a furious, legendary rally to beat Mississippi State. Now, this Texas team right now, to me, is night and day better than the one that was playing in September and October. But if you're going to evaluate the full season, if you're going to put Miami up there based on what they did in September, then probably you probably need to count that for Texas as well. So I agree with you, but I also agree with your overall point that this is going to impact scheduling. And, you know, if they leave Alabama out, if they lose to Georgia, it's going to impact teams' desires to go to the championship game. It's one of those things where everybody wants to make money off of every little thing. And the world doesn't work that way. And competitive sports don't work that way. Not everything needs to be about money. The reason we have these ridiculous tiebreakers and 18-team conferences and then no divisions and no pods or nothing that makes sense is because TV wants the top two teams. They just want another game with and make sure they have two good teams on that weekend so they can drive ratings and make money. That's just not the way to do it. It's not smart. And so that's kind of my take on it. And we'll see what happens. But unfortunately, there's going to be some controversy again this year. And we'll see how the geniuses that run this sport decide to fix it.
Yeah, I think you're right. If Georgia was playing Ole Miss, or Ole Miss was playing Texas A&M, or Texas A&M was playing Ole Miss or Georgia, Alabama's in the playoffs. So I just don't see how you keep them out, even with a loss, even with a bad loss. I think they have to be in. You can't penalize. And they're actually, they beat Georgia head-to-head, so they would be the number one seed, I guess, if that mattered, going into this game on Saturday. So I just don't see a scenario. If they keep them out, that's going – Greg Sankey, I mean, all these commissioners – are going to have to really reevaluate this entire thing.
Yeah, and they won't ever. I mean, you know, you got the Big Ten with the 2014 plan, which obviously eliminates their championship game. You know, that's ridiculous. The SEC wants, you know, it's kind of reversed course. Now they just want the top, you know, they want 16 and 5 on. I mean, it's a mess, and unfortunately, you know, it's this game of cat and mouse with those two conferences, to where it's like the SEC tries to give a little, and it like going to nine games and screws all their teams in the process to get the Big Ten to come to the table. And history shows us the Big Ten is not interested in compromising whatsoever with anybody. They're the most ridiculous players in all of this. And so, you know, if I'm Sankey, you know, I'm going to need to stop that. And what I would do, guys, long term, I would say, look, we're going to partner with the Big 12, like-minded institutions, football schools, and we're going to have our playoff over here. And y'all can go with your buddies from the ACC, because y'all think you run college sports and you're really a bunch of, you know, people that have agendas. And y'all can have y'all's playoff over there. It'll be AFC, NFC. We'll cross schedule some for non-conference. And then we're going to have our playoff. Y'all have y'all. And we'll see you in the college football Super Bowl. That's what I would do. I mean, all the TV deals are different per conference. You don't have anything binding you to these people. You know, the people that run the college football playoff, they're the same people that ran the BCS and all this stuff. They're just basically a marketing organization anyway. You have nothing binding you together. I would just tell the Big Ten to go get, you know, go jump.
Yeah.
If I were the SEC.
Yeah. That.
The Lane Kiffin thing is gone. What's happened here with the Lane Kiffin thing is there are a lot of things behind the scene that just make everybody mad. The AD is holds on. That finally come out. Players say the meeting. I don't think it's good for the league or good for. I don't know if you want to comment on that or not. I don't even know if it's a good question, but it's news, I guess. What? Just comment on that, I guess, to our listeners.
Yeah, it's unprecedented, you know, and it just had to be Lane Kiffin, right? You know, after what happened in Tennessee and all that good stuff. You know, on the one hand, you know, he deserves to take a PR hit. There was a documentary about him finding himself and happy in Oxford and all this other stuff. And then, you know, he goes out and takes the best job possible. You know, it's just mercenary style. And LSU, a program I respect, love their fans and stuff. You know, what a bunch of hypocrisy. You know, you sit there and you talk about how you're going to take a stand against buyouts. The governor's all mad about it. They fire the AD. And then you go and, you know, sign Lane Kiffin to one of the greatest contracts ever. And then, you know, just don't even care that he abandoned his team in the middle of a playoff run. You guys have coached. I mean, Wimp, would you have gone and taken the Duke job after the SEC tournament before the big dance? Would you have done that?
No, I'd have fought for both. I'd have fought to coach my team and also be sure I got the Duke job. I'd double it up, but I'd coach the team first.
Yeah, and my question is this. I mean, what was the rush with LSU? I mean, I understand you have people screaming wanting to coach a place. Everybody's worried about the portal and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I just it's sad. At the same time, I'll say this. Old basketball coach named Seth Bynum in Gainesville, Georgia, one time told me 20 years ago, because he had a state championship team at East Hall High School. Bunch of juniors, they were 31-1, all of them coming back. It's an easy state title the next year, right? Well, the job at Lakeview Academy, a private school across town, came open. They weren't worth a nickel. And he left to take that job and left a loaded team at East Hall. And we were close and friends, and he told me, he's like, JC, when in coaching, if a job opens that you want, you better take it, because you don't know if it's ever going to open again. So, if Kiffin wanted the LSU job and, you know, got to strike while the iron's hot, you know, all that. So I can empathize with that part of it, too.
Well, 50-something million to the coach is leaving until he gets another job. $13 million a season to Kiffin. LSU has found some money.
Yeah, well, they got, I know in women's basketball, the guy that founded Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, he's worth about $30
billion. Yeah,
they're about, so I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know for sure that he's the one that kind of helped them out with it, but I think LSU Athletics can find money. I think LSU, the school of the state of Louisiana, is consistently broke.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mess. The whole system's a mess. He handled it poorly. I was reading an article by Mark Schlabaugh that was on ESPN today that Keith Carter was trying to find a way for him not to coach in the Egg Bowl. So then they said, well, we better let him. It's worth, you know, we got to make the playoff and make money and all that. But that bridge is obviously burned. And I'm shocked that Weiss is going back. I think they had already kind of negotiated that. So Lane Kiffin tried to take credit for it. Keith Carter threw some water on that. JC, Alabama, Georgia play in Atlanta on Saturday. There's no buzz in Tuscaloosa. To be honest, I don't hear it. Usually when you go into the SEC championship game, that's a big deal. Doesn't seem quite as big a deal. Maybe just for Georgia to get that monkey off their back to finally beat Alabama. How do you see this game going? Alabama's beat up, JC.
Yeah, Georgia's at six guys out, too, including Drew Bobo, their starting center, who could be out for the year. That's Mike Bobo's son. Good ball player. I don't know. I think probably Kirby Smart and Kalen DeBoer are, like, secretly probably going, well, I really wish we didn't have to play, you know, with the playoff coming up. But, yeah, it's kind of like signing day, guys. You know, we had a signing day yesterday that was
no buzz.
Uninterested at all because everybody at the portal, you know, sucked the air out of the room. Well, now the playoff has sucked the air out of the oxygen out of the room with regards to the championship weekend, where it used to be some of these matchups right now, if we were under the old system, you're sitting there wondering, does the Ohio State Indiana loser get in? And, you know, Alabama probably wouldn't. The only chance to get in with two losses was to beat Georgia convincingly. I mean, there was some drama there, but there's just not. Now, is it important for a program like Virginia? Yeah. If they beat Duke, they're going to the playoff. You know, if they don't, then we're going to have two group of five schools, most likely.
Yeah.
So with the way it's set up. So, which is I bragged about it earlier. Now, if that happens, it's going to be ridiculous. But, you know, it's, look, these championship games, especially the SEC, the rest of them probably, you know, could do it. They don't care. But the SEC championship game has been special for a long time. It's a cash cow. It makes money. The league doesn't want it to go anywhere. And you do have to look at it. Kirby Smart said that this week, like, you know, in the South, that's a big game regardless. You know, it's the SEC championship. Kirby grew up wanting to play in it, you know. So I assume there'll be a lot of excitement and things like that. Obviously, we could get to the situation, though, where if Georgia loses, their fans are happy walking out of the stadium because they probably get a home game in Athens in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I've talked about that for a long time in that, okay, you got these buys. Last year, they weren't rewards. All the teams that got buys lost. I think you take too much time off, 30 days, and other teams kind of warmed up and ready to go. So I don't know that the buys help other than from, like, a health standpoint. So, you know, if you're Georgia and you lose the game, hey, somebody's coming to Athens. We get another home game, get a tailgate with our friends. Sanford's lit up and fired up. And, hey, that's a great consolation prize. And then, you know, whoever gets the bye doesn't get to play for a month. So it's a little weird, in my opinion, with how it's set up. That's why I like the 16-team idea. As long as they keep it, you know, people trying to sneak bye weeks into the – I mean, you know, stuff like that. As long as they keep it, you know, like a normal tournament, everybody gets a home game. And then that then in conference championship games, they may mean more because the home field advantage may come into play. You know, you may be ranked ninth, but if you win the Big 12, you're going to be sixth and get a home game. So, you know, maybe that's a silver lining and another reason to get off this cattywampus number of 12.
Yeah. Lastly, we have a listener that texted me and wanted me to ask you, of course, when you fire, you got to hire. And we're looking at some of these situations. They don't know who to hire. But Beamer, Shane Beamer, 1-7, 4-8 this year. Is next year a make or break year for him to where he needs to, I don't know, win 8 games, something like that, or they'll be looking to make a change?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a do or die season for him next year because there's just not any precedent in the SEC to have like 3 losing seasons in 4 years, unless you're in a massive rebuild and keep your job. And he wasn't. I mean, he was 5 points away from being in the SEC championship game and the playoff last year and returned enough to have another good season, and coaching kind of sank it. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Usually at South Carolina, coaches get fired because the talent at certain spot is deficient. And I'm not saying Carolina's loaded. I'm saying there was enough there to win. They have as much talent as some of these teams that won 8-9 games. And the coaching's not good enough to overcome it. Like Steve Spurrier was good enough most years to have winning records with, you know, because the talent level, you know, to overcome that. That's what happens to Will Muschamp. Lou Holtz experienced that later. You know, Brad Scott bottomed out because of it. It wasn't that they were like bad coaches and coaching was costing them games. Shane Beamer this year, coaching cost them games. And so that's damning. That's damning. And so he's got to make a good offensive coordinator hire. He fired his running backs coach today. He's got to make it off. I mean, the offensive staff is probably going to be completely retooled because for 5 years, his ideas of what to do on offense and the guys he's hired have left a lot to be desired. I mean, remember a few years ago, he had a guy that got shut out at Florida and then hung 63 on Tennessee the next week because they adjusted the coaching. So it's been simple decisions that have not gone his way that have been the wrong one, and that's coaching. So they signed a pretty good class. It was small, but it was mighty. You know, a lot of good players, top player in Virginia, top player in South Carolina. So they're getting players, but the wins have to come next season. There's no other way around it, or you know, Carolina's going to be making a change. I think next year would be a better year for South Carolina to be on the market, quite frankly, than this year where, you know, a lot of the guys like Kenny Dillingham and Brent Key and Jeff Brom, you know, your next level guys that you know, they're all their alma mater. So that's why we have Group of 5 schools coming to the SEC now, and you have assistants being promoted like at Ole Miss. Everybody but Lane Kiffin, you know, it's a crapshoot. I think there are some. Alex Golish to me is a good hire. John Summerall is a good hire. But I think if you're South Carolina, you know, next year, you could probably, you know, more easily fill the job and, you know, not run into some of the frustrations. Of course, Penn State can't fill their job for whatever reason. And it's a top 10 job in the country. So who knows these days? Who knows? There's a lot of clown athletic directors out there, man. So you never underestimate the possibility of one of these guys in a suit and tie completely screwing everything up.
Yeah, I mean, they had no plan at Penn State as to who they could get. And the fact that job's still open, unless they got some – something up their sleeve with Kalen DeBoer, which I don't think that's happening. I don't know what they're going to do. All right, JC, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, JC and Morgan, we dropped the podcast earlier this week. Get it on Spotify, Apple, iHeart. Download the Chief Sports app, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, JC.
Thanks, JC.
All right, we'll take the break here. We got make sure Cowboy's still holding. Cowboy and Joe, we'll get to you guys. When we get back from break, we got 3 lines open, 205-342-9904 if you'd like to jump in. We think Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Bolaños.
Week 14 of the NFL kicks off with Thursday Night Football as the Lions will be hosting the Cowboys, and wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown is questionable for Detroit. In the NBA on Wednesday, Cooper Flagg doing what he can for the Mavericks.
To Nembhard, and now in the middle to Davis out top. Drops it right to Flagg. Makes the pass, takes the drive, got to the rim. Score it with a foul and a chance for three. And again, Brian, Cooper Flagg, fourth quarter, puts your head down, go get to the rim.
Yeah, you heard it on the Eagle Mavericks radio network. They beat the Heat 118-108, where Flagg ended with 22 points. The Clippers snapped their five-game losing streak with a 115-92 win over the Hawks, while Jamal Murray dropped 52 points as the Nuggets outscored the Pacers 135-120. And Giannis Antetokounmpo suffered a right calf strain against the Pistons, but Milwaukee beat Detroit 113-109.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, as we are in the heart of your primetime rush to work, watch out for this accident in Northport. We have it on Lurline Wallace southbound after McFarland. Now, everything is on the shoulder, but I do see where traffic's just a little slow in the area, and that, of course, is in addition to your...
Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside Locker Room. Thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website TuscaloosaToyota.com. Looking at that 2026 Tundra. Beautiful car, a beautiful truck. 2.99 APR for the first 72 months. $1,000 holiday bonus cash there. They got the Tacomas out there. JC said you want to get somebody, one of your loved ones, something for Christmas. And swing by there. They'll find it for you, hold it for you right there until Christmas. Swing by Scott and Boulevard. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com, and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, to the Yellowwood Highline. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
How y'all, Wimp, Barry?
Good.
The problem in football is nobody wants to play nobody. And until we change these schedules, nothing's going to change. It's just like our schedule next year. We're playing four of the five bottom teams this year. The only one left off is Arkansas. And then we got the three out-of-conference games are awful. We got seven games that nobody wants to go to. And nobody cares. You know, in football, you can lose and go hide for 3 weeks. But in basketball, you can't. I'll give you a perfect example right here. Tennessee, Florida, and Kentucky just played three awful games. Barely scored 60 points. But Kentucky is in the Music City Classic Friday night is playing Gonzaga in Nashville. Saturday night, Tennessee is playing Illinois. Next Tuesday night, Florida is playing UConn. So what do, coaches? We forget about that close loss where we just scored 60 points. We don't forget about it. but we got a chance to correct it. You know what I'm trying to say? Y'all follow me? Am I making sense?
But I mean, you can't compare the two, right? I mean, how the turn, you got 68 teams compared to 12 getting in the playoff.
Here's how you can, Barry. You make a super conference.
Yeah, well, you have to make some changes. I'm saying, but the way it's set up now, Alabama, you're right, they're going to play 9 conference games next year. Then they've got East Carolina. They do have Florida State and Chattanooga, but 3 home games there. So
that's awful. It's awful. Call it what it is.
But you got Florida State, though, and you got 9 other league games.
But look at this. Stanky made our conference schedule. So you go back to the commissioner. You know, it goes back to that, Barry. Just like, look, perfect example. Philadelphia and Kansas City are both paying the price for being in the Super Bowl last year.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, let me ask you this. All right, Joe, if you and Dad were Greg Burnham, in 2027, they have Marshall, and they're at Ohio State. Now, you see what happened in Texas right now. Would you take that? Would you talk to Ohio State and say, look, we don't need to beat each other up. Let's just move this. Let's just get rid of this game. Would you play that game?
That's what's wrong with football right there. You just made the example. That's what's wrong with it, Barry.
Yeah.
Everybody wants Texas schedule so they can make the playoffs, but Texas ain't even going to make it this year.
No, they're not. But if they would have played Chattanooga instead of Ohio State, they probably would.
No, Barry, they went overtime. With
I know, Kentucky. But they still got them ranked ahead of a lot of teams, and they shouldn't be. With 3 losses, they're ahead of Vanderbilt.
It's just the blue blood. That's all it is in football. And they've got to get away from that.
Yeah.
They got to get away from that. What's the word on Holloway and Bristow?
I guess the Holloway, they said he re-injured his wrist. I'm not sure about Bristow and Wright, so he's got some kind of leg injury. I've never seen a team have as many injuries. Is this a fluke thing?
We're having them, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me where this Miles kid played high school basketball in Montgomery at for Bandy. I can't remember that kid, Barry. Can you?
No, I don't even. Who is it? I'm gonna pull up Bandy's.
Miles. He's the one that you saw the highlights. He was out of the game, and the guy was dunking, and he ran behind the goal. Have you not seen that from last night?
Mm-mm.
Oh gosh, that's all the SEC channel showing over and over and over. He's leading them in scoring. He's scoring 20 something points a game.
Hmm.
And he's from Montgomery, and he's a senior. He transferred in there. Is that guy doing a great job up there or what?
Mark Byron, yeah, they're undefeated.
Yeah, he went over to Atlantis and beat Western Kentucky, VCU, and St. Mary's, the national Australian team that's playing in the United States, and beat them, almost every one of them double digits, I think.
Over Duke there, Miles, he went to Robert E. Lee in Montgomery. Wow. And he transferred from Oklahoma. He was at High Point. Good Lord. He was at Troy. And he went from Troy. He was at Troy 3 years. I don't even know if it's possible. Went to High Point, redshirted Oklahoma, and now he's a graduate at Vanderbilt. And he's leading them in scoring.
Yeah. Look at your stats. He's leading them.
Hmm.
Yeah, it sure is.
There you go. Hey, yeah, you're right. Anyway, you're right.
Hey, that transfer system's something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, we lost the boy at Tennessee, didn't we? The number one player from Murfreesboro, Washington. He didn't sign with us.
Really?
What's the story that?
I don't know. We don't follow recruiting. I don't know. Okay.
Well, he was in. And now this is basketball I'm talking about, Barry.
Oh.
We were ninth, Barry, and then he didn't sign with us. Of course, we got about 4 guys we're waiting to hear from, so it really doesn't matter. And plus transfers.
Well, they're putting their eggs in Caleb Holt's basket. That's who they want.
And you think so? Think we'll get it?
Yeah, Duke Miles is from Robert E. Lee, averaging 18, right at 19 points a game, shooting 47% from 3. So
tell me about it. I've been watching.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Barry and Coach?
Good.
Okay.
I heard Phillip's call earlier this morning. Yeah, I turned on that Clemson game, and it just had a dull feeling to it. And, heck, I said, well, I'm going to flip over and watch something, maybe else, the Dallas Stars. I even had to take off one and go to one of those streaming channels to watch that. But I watched a little hockey, and then I came back, and it looked like just didn't have any atmosphere. I didn't even hear a pep band playing on the timeout or anything, you know. Maybe there was, but it just seemed like people were bored with Clemson and didn't want to be there or something, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think it was a very I don't think the SEC – I love Garth, but I don't think that matchup – it just didn't create a lot of buzz. They'd already played Clemson a lot. I think everybody wanted to see somebody different. So it was kind of a dull atmosphere in there, Cowboy.
Yeah, I'd rather seen us play SMU or something, you know, a Dallas visit or them in Tuscaloosa, you know. People might have been a little more fired up for it. I don't know, with that Jack State player coming back to Alabama that they got. But, oh, well. Well, thanks for asking JC that question for me. I thought he had a great response on Shane Beamer. He said they're going to be in playoff contention next year. Beamer has already said that, you know, in his press conferences.
Yeah, I don't know how smart that is.
Yeah. You know, Chris, their AD, Del Conte, has been out here in Texas, so you might could look for a Texas Big 12 coach for him or something, you know, if Beamer or something didn't work with him, who knows. But what do you all heard on LT Overton? You know, they say he's not playing Saturday. Did he get hurt in practice, or what's going on there?
I think that was a shock to everybody when that injury report came out yesterday. It had been pretty quiet, so I'm not sure. I'm going to try to find out today what's going on with that.
Yeah. I thought the Florida hire was really good. I didn't know a lot about Summerall, but I heard his press conference, and I was kind of impressed with him. I think we dodged a bullet there with him going to Florida, but I might be wrong, and not at Auburn. What's your dad think about the Auburn coach they hired? I know he's close with some Auburn guys. What do you think, Coach?
Oh, I think he's okay for the time being. Getting a job new like that, he's a little bit overwhelming with the officials, I think. And maybe I shouldn't say that because I was the same way.
He's talking about the football coach, not Pearl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you. I don't know the football coach that Auburn is. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened there was they knew they were going to keep DJ regardless. And they needed somebody with some offensive, and he's had offensive or offensive record. And he is a very good recruiter. And they felt like that he was going to come in there and take up the deficiency of the offense by being a really good offensive guy. They've got a good defensive guy who said he was going to stay and announce that. So I think it was a good choice. And I think he'll be on top of the recruiting. Yeah. So I'm sorry. I think that's what I think.
Well, that's good. Hopefully he does well for him. We'll see. You know, I like DJ Durkin's defense the other night. He got after Alabama.
Yeah,
I don't know if they were hitting late or not, but
it was a defensive game to start the game. Both teams were ready to play defensively. Auburn knew what they needed to do as far as show different looks in the back where they were going to go zone a man, and they pressured Ty a lot. So, Alabama's defense is better. He's done a good job there.
Cowboy, was there worse? Yeah. And I thought Freeze would be a good hire. It was an awful hire. Freeze was terrible. He was terrible at Auburn. He recruited good. His coaching and how he handled the players publicly, how he handled the PR of his program, He was awful. Was there two worse hires than Brian Harsin? And then turned out to be Hugh Freeze, which everybody thought would be a pretty good hire. Those ended up being two awful hires.
They were horrible. I was kind of iffy on Freeze, but he did nothing offensively down there.
Nothing. For 3 years. And he didn't even try, like, to change. We put Deuce in there. Do something different. And the fact that he evaluated Jackson Arnold and thought that he was the guy that come in there and, you know, revive the Auburn program just shows you how bad he missed. So he was very disappointing as a head coach.
He might have been a worse hire than Harsin because you didn't expect Harsin to do anything. Well, he did fair, you know. And then I'll tell you where Freeze really went down was when they got when they got their butt handed to them by Maryland, and he blamed everybody but himself for that loss. I think that's where it was over from then on.
Yeah.
They had a couple of games where they had bad calls.
Sure.
That Georgia thing was a fiasco, and I thought the Oklahoma thing where they hit the guy. You know, I think Barry mentioned it too. We had the athletic director on yesterday, and Barry mentioned to him about the call that maybe just tore them up the rest of the season.
True.
I thought it was a good question, and there's not a good answer. So
right. Well, they shouldn't have let that one call. You know, you're still up 10-0. I guess. Yeah. I know it was a tough deal, but they still could have won the football game. They shouldn't have let it destroy them. But I guess that shows how Freeze didn't have them all together. But they seemed like they had a new energy with DJ Durkin coaching them.
Yeah, that was the thing. They played so much better.
They got after Alabama.
Yeah, played so much better with him. And then you watch Deuce. I don't know it was Mercer, but as much as they struggled, they never even – I was surprised they didn't try him in the Iron Bowl. I was actually glad. Now, I know the other kid played well in the second half, but he was terrible in the first half. So what – I wasn't sure why they didn't make the change then. I was glad they didn't, though, Cowboy.
Well, yeah, he was skittish the first drive, Daniels.
Yeah.
And then the receivers kept dropping balls on him all night.
True.
I've never seen such a comedy of flub-ups, you know.
Yeah.
My goodness, straight through their hands. What? Yes, sir.
How much will Alabama beat Georgia?
I say they'll beat them 27-25. Georgia, you know, you should
get 20.
How do you score 25, Cowboy?
Georgia went for two, got it with 2.5 minutes to go to win, and then we kick a field goal with 31 seconds left, something like that.
Alabama's going to score 27 points against Georgia's defense? Pretty good.
Yeah.
Does Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart, especially Kalen DeBoer, they have a hard time motivating their players to be ready for this game? Or is it just, hey, this is the SEC championship, this is Georgia? I just don't hear a lot of buzz about this game, Cowboy.
Well, I think you motivate your players because you can go to the college football playoff, but you may never win. You might not win that, but you'll have an SEC championship ring on your finger if you win this football game. There's a lot to play for, Barry.
Yeah.
SEC champions hold a lot of weight.
Georgia wins 21-0. Does Alabama get into 12?
Yeah.
I don't think so at 21-0. No, sir.
I test, Cowboy. I test only right now. Right now, I test. Who's better, Vanderbilt or Alabama?
Vanderbilt.
Well, depending on where they play.
They talk about eye test. Vanderbilt should be in this playoff. You can't punish them because of the teams that they whooped up on. I mean, somebody said the committee, the guy said, well, they don't have a top 25 win. Well, when they played Tennessee, they were in the top 25. So they get penalized because they smashed them?
Vanderbilt right now would be a tough match for Alabama. They may not be as banged up as Alabama is right now.
Yeah.
A rematch.
You think any of those teams won't Vanderbilt right now? I don't.
No. Hey, let me ask you this. You and Coach, who'd you like in the Big 12 game, Texas Tech, BYU, and the big one Saturday night, Indiana, Ohio State? They're playing
for Texas Tech to win. They're 12.5-point favorite.
You need Texas Tech to win.
Oh, yeah.
State's going to win.
Hey, Barry, and Coach, here's the real debate in this thing. Who's better, Miami or Notre Dame? That's the real debate.
That's all been over. It's head-to-heads that count, and they don't have Miami ahead of them. They should be ahead of them.
Yeah, I would be going crazy.
I would, too. Head-to-head.
But you know what? Notre Dame is playing the best football that could beat Ohio State right now. Ohio State's physical.
If you have the same record, Cowboy, and I played you and I beat you, I don't care what your eyes say.
That's right.
Oh, I know that. But Miami, they blew it when they came out here and lost to SMU. They put on a clown show that day. I should have gone, but it was kind of rainy that morning. I didn't go, but I knew coming out here they were going to play like they were too good to be in that little tiny stadium at SMU, and they got it handed to them. They ran a punt back to the 6-yard line, didn't even get a touchdown, had kicked.
Well, they lost 26-20. I mean, and they lost to Louisville 24-21. So they lost.
Right.
By a combined total of 9 points the two games.
Yeah.
And they just beat Pitt 38-7 at Pitt. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Head to head doesn't matter. Then I don't know what matters if you have the same record. If you don't.
They beat Notre Dame. I think both might get in if we don't have an upset Saturday.
If that doesn't matter, then Alabama played Florida State the first game. Throw it out too. It's first game. Anything can happen. I guess that's what they're saying. So,
right. Well, they don't really want anybody in there but Miami for the ACC. But the conference office wasn't smart enough to get Miami in the game with two losses. Duke's got two, but how do they beat Miami in a tiebreaker? They didn't even play each other.
Yeah, no, Duke's. Yeah, Duke's got two conference losses, but they're 7-5.
Yeah.
Those big leagues, the tiebreakers are Duke lost to, I'm looking here, who they lost to in the league. They lost to Georgia Tech, and they lost to Virginia. And they're having to play Virginia.
Miami didn't play any of those.
Why did Virginia go over to Texas and whoop them by 20 last night, Cowboy?
Oh, I loved it. Little Dave over there coaching. He looks good. He looks like his dad, but a little GQ-er looking. He looks a little more looks a little more polished looking than dad. You know, he looked good over there. Oh, I'm not this John Miller hire. If I was a Texas fan, I'm not crazy about that. He's kind of been at Arizona, Xavier. Hey, Odom. Yeah, I like that. Good coaching. Big win for him.
Yeah. All right, Cowboy. We'll get to break.
All right, Bucky got a big win in this ACC.
He did on the road.
Go, Bucky.
All right, thank you,
Cowboy.
There you go. All right, Ragged Glory, hold on. We'll take this break. Now, let's talk about Bryant Bank before we get to break. We'll get back from break, have a quick segment with Ragged Glory, then another break, and then have the vinegar tip for the day.
Well, Bryant Bank's outstanding bank. Personal business accounts, either one. You go in there, they'll know you the second time you're in there, maybe the first time. They're interested in schools, they're interested in you. They'll be darn sure that your money is safe. Brother, is that important? And you can bank online around the clock. Bryant Bank has been in the state of Alabama a long time. They've done a great job. I bank with them all the time. I think they're the best bank around. And regardless of whether this is an ad or not, I like Bryant Bank. So go by there and visit with them. I think you'll find you can get an account, a 2 accounts, however you want to do it, and you'll be safe with what you do.
All right. You know that Christmas dinner that Bobby Sprout invited you to earlier in the week? It's canceled, so you're going to have to find another dinner. No dinner now. We just got to mess it. No dinner. So. All right, we'll take the break here. Ragged, hold on. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Be prepared to maneuver around an accident in Northport on Lurleen Wallace northbound after Rice Mine Road. Now traffic is being directed around the area at Paul Bryant. And then moving in downtown, watch out.
Peace of mind. Call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/Tom Hanna today.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com and by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Streaming live each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by women's basketball head coach Christy Curry.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job in recruiting. You know, they had a top recruiting class. They've hit the portal. They've done an outstanding job. You know, they returned two starters. We returned two starters. We played them down in Destin. We're fortunate to come out on a positive side, but they're a different team. And I think the importance of us understanding shooters, the importance, they have a great inside-outside game. Very similar styles of play. They run a lot of split action, very difficult to defend. We're going to have to be disciplined defensively. We're going to have to rebound the basketball. But I think it'll be interesting who can make more threes, you know, who's going to come out and play off 2 feet and get the ball in the paint. So it'll be a fun matchup because we're very similar styles of play. You know, we're excited for Crimson Chaos. It should be a fun weekend of basketball in Coleman Coliseum.
I'll have more in a moment. Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. We've got you covered tonight for Alabama women's basketball against Clemson. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. at Coleman Coliseum, with our coverage on the network starting at 5:45 p.m. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Happy holiday.
Chase, upbeat. All right, get right to the Yellowwood Hotline and bring Ragged Glory in. What's up, Ragged?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, coaches. Blessings of health and good tidings to you both. Let's shift this to basketball now for a little bit. I did not get to watch the game. I mean, I'm a visual guy. I like watching games on TV. But I did get to listen to it on the radio last night, the River 101.7. And, you know, shout out to Roger Hoover and his cohort there broadcasting that game because they were able to give me a mental picture of what's going on. So now here's my question for you. Do you feel Coach Wimp and Coach Berry that Alabama's style of basketball, offensive basketball, is that a hindrance or a variable in why we are not getting enough offensive boards to give us that second chance, third chance? And on the flip side, on defense, what are we doing wrong to give our opponent three and four shots?
That.
Well, first of all, Alabama is very, very good offensively, and they're good from the three and the two. They don't get as many offensive rebounds because they're not as big as they have been. And a lot of times the three-point shots that they miss, the rebound goes away from the goal, goes long, and it has to be run down. But I think Alabama, they're probably not quite as good defensively as they need to be, but they're darn good, and they're hard to defend. So I would say, I don't know whatever questions you've asked, but I think Alabama's good. They've got good depth. You know, you got one or two players you've got to defend a little bit better than Clemson did last night. But I don't know what other questions you asked, but
it's just our. I was concerned about why we're not getting the defensive boards on the missed shots. I mean, we're giving them two and three chances
we're not as big. We're probably not as big. You know, and rebounds come off in a different way than they did when I was coaching. You know, we were all shooting a lot of twos, weren't shooting that far out. But now you have a lot of rebounds to get away from there. So,
I mean, Alabama, I think they want to be good defensively, but when you play this style, they're going to play to outscore you. Exactly. So they're figuring, we're going to go to a number you can't get to. Clemson has a hard time probably getting to 90. So they figured that the higher the score, better chances. So when you play that style, you're going to give up more points, but you also, they can't shoot with them, to be honest with you. So Alabama last night.
You have to defend them. You know, we talk about shooting a three all the time, but if basketball teams worked on really defending the three really hard, have a practice on that every day, I think they would be, you know, I think that's big. We don't talk about it much on the show because we talk about offense all the time, but defending the three is critical. And Alabama, as Barry said, outscores from the three. People don't get to them to defend them.
So here's the thing. Last night, Clemson shot 4 for 19 from three. Alabama made 12. They were 12 for 34. So you got 8 more threes right there. Yeah, so that makes it difficult to beat them.
And boy, they started out. I thought, oh, my gosh, here we go. Oh, man, it was awesome. I go, okay, here's another 110-point game. You know, but and all of a sudden, it's just like bad mojo. I don't know. You know, too many misses.
But give Preston Murphy credit to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and get Amari Allen. He was terrific last night. 20 points. And then Landon Jemison, you know, another freshman from Connecticut that they went and got. They do a great job recruiting at Alabama.
Well, prayers and blessings to these kids that are injured right now, because can you imagine if we were 100% healthy? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, well, these guys are worthy of playing, so now you start running the problem when you get the healthy guys back. How do you get them all minutes? That's where the problem lies. So.
Well, hey, I'd like to have that problem, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But
Fresh legs.
Thank you, Ragged.
You bet.
All right, well, to go ahead and take this break, get back and get the vinegar tip for this Thursday, brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Big traffic delays in Northport right now. We're looking at an accident on Lurleen Wallace northbound after Reitzmein Road, 5th Street. Now traffic is being diverted around that accident area at Paul Bryant. And we've got road construction.
This holiday season, make Foo Sackley's your holiday headquarters. Order yours today at FooSackley's.net or from the Foo app. Bring the party. Bring Foo Sackley's.
Follow the Crimson. Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I've been good.
Here we go. 205-752-8500. Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. If you need a quote, give him a call. He'll get you a little vinegar, too, to help you with his tip.
These vinegar tips run out after a period of time. But if your mouth is feeling a little funky when you get up, you drink coffee, you haven't brushed your teeth, your breath is not good, and you're struggling, you know you are, you can take a swig of apple cider vinegar, and when you do, you need to gargle it in your throat. You don't need to swallow it right off the bat, but you need to gargle it real good. And I think that will kill the bacteria that's in your mouth and make you gonna kiss your wife and make it a little bit better, kiss her. So, I don't think anything else is good. They talk about having the room, but no, I'm not gonna talk about that, but about the room temperature water, but just to combat bad breath, use apple cider vinegar. Gargle it in your mouth, and you'll be much better off after or before you brush your teeth. Either one or two. That's it.
Do you spit it out though? You don't swallow.
You can spit it out. Probably spit it out, and then you might want to take a swig of it after that. But the main thing is, you're not sitting there having to go get mouthwash every day, different kinds of mouthwash, which is $5.95, something like that. You can take this little swig of apple cider vinegar, and you'll be in pretty good shape. I think you'll be okay. And when you kiss your wife, she says, "Whew, your breath smells bad. Get another swig of it."
Well, you're gonna taste good if you've been drinking vinegar.
Well, yeah, I still guess
it's
okay. Yeah,
I suggest a peppermint. All right, okay. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. If you need a quote, he's at 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, right across from Indian Hills. Over. You can find him. 205-752-8500. All right. Go ahead and take this break, and then we get back. I almost threw up during the vinegar tip this morning. When did Chase, can you hear me, Chase? Chase on the line there. When did L's become a thing? Like, we have L's that come to our house now. When those little turds, they make all kind of messes. When did that happen? When did that start? L's. Who came up with that idea? You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
My love won't do you no harm, and I feel nice. That's your new spot.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Big traffic delays in Northport right now. We're looking at an accident on Lurleen Wallace northbound after Rice Mine Road, 5th Street. Now traffic is being diverted around that accident area at Paul Bryant. And we've got road construction.
It's time to get super sure. Not kind of sure, not pretty sure, not a little sure, but super sure. The seismic shift is coming. Super sure, coming soon.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside Lucky. All right, tomorrow we'll get that blue plate special. I know everybody on the edge of their seat, Chase, for this blue plate. Brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. Need precision power and performance. Just kidding. Don't be silly. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. Go to bhardencontst.com. What are you looking at? Are you going to do two blue plates this week? You got some games on Friday. Why?
I don't know. 12 and a half might be something I want to look at.
Really?
Tech's good. Let me tell you something. That athletic director and that president has said, if this is what it's going to take to be successful in football, we're going to load the wagon. And they got money at Texas Tech, and that's exactly what they did. Because this is a team you don't think about much. You had what's his name? He passed away there one time. He talked about him some. But the Texas Tech team now, they're stumpy fanny if you don't play.
Is this Alabama, Georgia ticket a tough ticket, Chase? A tough ticket? It is?
Yes.
Really? Look on the market, see how much it is.
Is this game in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was. But
Mercedes-Benz Stadium, okay. So it'll be weather. No weather won't be a factor. Fox.
Home court advantage.
Fox has got Indiana and Ohio State. State's a 4-point favorite there. That game is in Indianapolis, though, so that should be a big Indiana crowd there. Virginia and Duke, they're going to play that in Charlotte. You think that's a tough ticket? 7-5 Duke taking on 10-2 Virginia. That's that offensive coordinator that used to be with Clemson that's over. And so not a lot of games this weekend. BYU, Texas Tech, as you said, 12.5. Friday night, Troy and James Madison play. Troy's a 23.5 point underdog in North Texas. Takes on Tulane, Florida's coach, and he says he is going to stay through. I guess they could make the playoffs, so I guess he's going to stay through the playoffs. So Florida's recruiting will suffer again. So anyway, all right, that's it for today's show. That's all we got. Tomorrow we'll find out if Sonny knows that Auburn lost the Iron Bowl. You think he knows that?
No, he don't even know
that
Hugh Freeze is gone.
Does he know they hired a coach?
No. He can't pronounce his name either.
Does he know Auburn beat NC State in hoops last night?
Oh, he might know that. Yeah, Dan probably told him.
Yeah. I didn't know who to pull for. Stephen Pearl or Will Wade? It was a tough choice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know who you pull for. You pull for Auburn.
Did it?
Sure.
Hey, Will Wade.
He's rubbed you the wrong way for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know, Will Wade. He was at Clemson when I was at South Carolina. He's the head coach at North Carolina State, and I'm the head coach at Northridge. So whatever. All right, that's it for today's show. And I get to hang out with Chase every morning. So keep it locked in. The Gary Harris Show is next. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC. It is the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.